Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information. Hello, and welcome to Pride Mix here at Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. June is LGBTQIA plus Pride Month, and during the month of June, our Trail Mix episodes are called Pride Mixes.
Pride Mix is a chance for us to dive deep into queer history and, in some cases, how queer history intersects with the national parks and the National Park Service's role as America's storyteller.
While in our Pride Mix episodes from season 2 and 3, we turned our focus on events and people in history, specifically in New York and San Francisco, to help illuminate the contributions of queer people in the LGBTQ+ movement, last year we turned our focus to laws which have been enacted against the LGBTQ+ community.
And now, with the waterfall of bills being proposed in legislatures all over the U.S., we wanted to take a look at the extremely long and cross-cultural queer story and timeline of drag up until this point. Honestly, we won't be able to cover every moment of the timeline because it's so incredibly involved, but we are going to cover a lot of it.
So before we start, let's talk a little bit about some favorite moments that we have from drag shows that we have been to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love a good drag show, especially a local drag show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we recently saw a local drag show at our friend's brewery.
Yes.
Triple Bottom Brewery, not a sponsor, but they're wonderful and they do great stuff for the community in Philadelphia.
That's true.
Highly recommend them. There was a local drag show at their brewery and...
It was a drag brunch.
It was a drag brunch, and I particularly loved the drag king that was a part of it. Had exceptional numbers.
Yes.
And, like, lots of great props work. I mean, it was... They were well-tailored numbers.
Yes, yes. And well-tailored in general.
Oh, yeah. Entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And what about you?
So, for me, I feel like I remember going to... there's a local gay bar in Asbury Park called Paradise. Going there for my birthday, dancing with some friends. My brother was there, and he went up to... There was a drag show happening in one of the spaces within the bar, and he went up to the drag queen on stage. And I'm definitely not someone that likes to be in the limelight when it comes to things like that. And he, like, I was like, oh God, he's doing something. And the drag queen called me up, like, in between numbers and was like looked me up and down and, like, did a whole thing and was like, well, and you get a gift because it's your birthday. So they gave me a gift card, which was
nice. And look at that.
So, yeah.
I don't like to be in the spotlight, but also I'm okay with it if you want.
No.
I'm going to stand here and let you compliment
me. That's not my Real Housewives opening. Mm-hmm.
I don't like the spotlight, but I do like your compliments.
But I do love the limelight.
I don't like the spotlight, but I do like the limelight.
Exactly.
That's what it would be.
That's my Real Housewives.
And you would be
of
like
New
holding
Jersey.
Limes or something.
Ronge. My Ronge intro.
That's it.
Yep. Let's start with this. Drag is an art form. And like all art forms, it looks at, responds to, highlights, challenges, illuminates, and reflects so many different parts of humanity. Also, like all art forms, drag is inherently political. Drag is a performance, specifically a performance of gender. It takes gender and it turns it into artwork.
From the article, What is Drag? Here is Everything You Need to Know by Yelena Dizanova, published on Insider. Quote, drag is the act of highlighting and emphasizing various feminine and masculine features, and it provides an avenue through which people can both subvert and celebrate gender expressions. Drag often gets conflated with cross-dressing, but the two are not synonymous, said Melanie Walsh, a psychology professor at the University of New Haven. Drag emphasizes community and celebration, while cross-dressing is generally a more solitary activity. Drag is the theatrical exaggeration of gender, said Joe E. Jeffries, a drag historian and adjunct instructor at New York University, who noted that the art form constantly subverts what people think they know about gender. End quote.
In our current landscape, it's very easy to think of drag through the lens of what is presented on RuPaul's Drag Race. And while we both find this show to be so fun and entertaining, and it certainly puts drag at the forefront, drag has a long, beautiful, deep queer story.
Drag as a term has been around for a long, 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 long time. Oxford English Dictionary dates it all the way back to 1388, which is when Mike was born.
Yep.
Though it wasn't until later in the 1800s, when I was born, that drag was associated with the performance of a gender different from one's own.
Drag dates back all the way to ancient Greece, with men performing female characters on stage. This also was, and still is, the traditional practice in Japan with kabuki theater, as well as Western opera.
As we know, not all history is written down. Reasons why oral history is so important. It is often collectively agreed upon that the term drag also comes from, wait for it, the theater. Shock of all shocks. Drag is literally a form of theater. It is theater, everybody. It's storytelling. So this derives from male performers performing female characters, because y'all remember when that was the thing? If you don't, we'll remind you, in many, 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 many instances, for a long time, in many cultures across the globe, women were not allowed on stage, and they were not allowed to perform on stage. Men played all of the roles, including the female characters. And this often involved elaborate costumes and sometimes petticoats that would literally drag on the floor behind the actor. So this is one way this term may have gotten its association.
Another story, and we have the movie Connie and Carla to thank us for this one.
Thank you, Nia Vardalos.
Is that drag is perhaps an acronym from Shakespeare's time, and they would write in margins of the script when it would be a male performer playing a female character, and the shorthand for dressed as girl was the word drag. This term, like many queer people, can have multiple origin stories. The important thing to note is that this kind of performance has been around.
Another important moment of the timeline was the 1920s, with the language Polari, a secret language used in England that had roots in theater slang, shock of no shocks. And this was born out of necessity so that queer people could speak openly to one another during a time of homosexual criminalization. Now, if this were a visual show, I'd put a picture of the state of Florida in 2023 right next to my face. Right now.
The very first person we know of to associate the word queen with drag was William Dorsey Swan, who referred to himself as a queen of drag. Swan, a formerly enslaved man, hosted drag gatherings in his home in Washington, D.C., with most often other formerly enslaved people.
In 1888, Swan was arrested and charged while in drag for, quote, being a suspicious person, end quote. He was also arrested many other times for trying to protect and save his friends during raids on queer gathering spaces.
During the early 20th century, at the height of vaudeville, drag performer pioneer Julian Eltinge was known across America for his female impersonation performance. In fact, Eltinge was at one point the highest paid actor in the U.S.
We know that by 1927, drag was a term that was being used regularly by the queer community. It was referenced in that year's Manual of Psychiatry by A.J. Rosenoff and defined as, quote, an outfit of female dress worn by a homosexual, end quote, or an event defined as, quote, a social gathering of homosexuals at which some are in female dress, end quote. Now, we know that this definition is obsolete now, as drag is not a performance medium that is only accessible to gay men. It is available to all people of all identities.
Exactly. Including that of even Ronald Reagan and George Murphy. That's right, two Republicans known for their conservatism. Oftentimes, during wartime, soldiers would dress in drag to entertain each other, especially during World War II. During this time, This is the Army, the play-turned-film featured the characters doing just this. It premiered on Broadway in 1942, and the film adaptation even won an Oscar in 1944. So don't believe it when Republicans suddenly act like drag is a dangerous thing. They've been participating in it too, because drag is an art form. It's not dangerous. It doesn't hurt or harm anyone.
And while drag queen is a common term, drag king is also a very common term that most likely emerged around the same time. The Harlem Renaissance saw the height of many drag king performers. This was also during a time of public criminalization of LGBTQ folks. Again, photo of Florida in 2023 right next to my face right now. This led to many gatherings happening in private clubs, hence the birth of ballroom culture, a place where the culture of drag was deepened even further. 1867 is the year of the first recorded drag ball. It featured mask and femme performers doing mask and femme drag, and it took place at Hamilton Lodge in Harlem. As ballroom culture grew, it became a celebratory and gathering space for many, particularly queer Black and Latinx folks.
During this time, there was also a bit of a divide among gay white men between those who had more, quote, masculine qualities who could, quote, pass in a crowd and those who were more, quote, feminine. And old habits die hard, don't they? Tune into our other podcast where we call out gay white men. Gaze at the problems of the gay community, and that's problems with a Z.
So often, in order to avoid a bar being raided, and yet again, cue a photo of Florida in 2023, the more femme men would dress in drag to appear like women and men who were dancing together and therefore not appear as men and men dancing together.
And while trans identity and drag are not the same thing, trans is an identity, drag is a performance. The backbone of drag as an art form is from our trans siblings, ancestors, and members of the community. Many trans people turn to drag as a way to find work, so for them, drag was quite often a way to survive financially.
In the 1950s, drag performers found a home for performances in gay bars and gay-specific spaces, like bathhouses. And with the growth of the gay bar came an increase in spaces for drag performances, and thus came the growth of drag as an art form. Queens like Divine appeared in popular films and later served as inspiration for Ursula the Sea Witch and The Little Mermaid, even into this remake. Entertainers across the spectrum have turned to drag time and time again, as it is an art form that is available to all. So what are some moments of drag that you remember from growing up?
Well, I feel like I was a little young for it, but I do remember Bosom Buddies on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks getting his start and Rick Moranis, right? I believe if it's not Rick Moranis, it's somebody else.
Okay.
Moranis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. I definitely remember Victor Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
That was the movie I watched as a young person because mm-hmm. I'm gay.
Yeah, that was formative moment.
I don't know if you've heard of the title of this podcast, mm-hmm. but the some people
gaze
have
at the problems of the white gays.
Gaze at the yes, gaze at the problems of the gays community.
Mm-hmm.
And Well, Victor Victoria is like all about bending gender, right?
Yeah.
She's a woman playing a man playing a woman, or yeah. She's like trying to appear as a man playing a woman, but she is a woman playing this man playing a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like a hat wearing a hat wearing a hat.
It is a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I remember that very much.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, Tootsie.
Yeah.
That was the moment. Also, Some Like It Hot. I mean, again, just like the drag's everywhere.
Drag is comedy.
And it's been here forever.
Yeah.
And like for us to, you know, pretend like suddenly like
it's a problem.
Now it's a problem. It's like, girl, stop.
Well, we'll dive
Go
into
home.
That.
We'll
sure.
dive into that later.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah.
I mean, even recently, like Bertie Carvel as the Trunchbull on in Matilda on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like there's a really famous tradition in the UK for men to play female characters in what they call an English pantomime. Like it's a mm-hmm. type of it's a genre of play. It's mm-hmm. a type of like comedy play. And so like that's a very common thing. So they're like literally referencing that with the production of Matilda.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 Drag is everywhere.
I remember too, like the Golden Girls, Sophia mm-hmm. and Dorothy went in drag as Cher and Sonny Bono.
Right.
When they had to sing I Got You Babe.
Yeah.
And then obviously, of course, RuPaul.
Yeah, of course.
Where was the first time you saw RuPaul?
I mean, RuPaul, not the show, but I feel like
No. The person.
RuPaul the person.
Yeah, RuPaul the person.
Brady Bunch movie.
I think me too. And I remember seeing
And Jan, you better
you
work.
You better work. I remember seeing RuPaul, mm-hmm. and I think I turned to my mom in the movie theater and I went, oh, she is so pretty. Mm-hmm. And I did say that. Mm-hmm. Also, RuPaul, I mean, RuPaul is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous, gorgeous. Still gorgeous, gorgeous all mm-hmm. the time. But yeah, I remember being young and seeing yeah. RuPaul and being like, ooh.
Yeah, I definitely didn't understand it then.
No, no. I didn't either.
Like, okay.
And then I think my mom said something like, that's the man. And I went, oh, good for him. That's what I said.
I like that.
I'm into that. Right. Yeah. Right. I would formative secretly game moments. Watch RuPaul's talk show on VH1.
Oh, that's like, right. I got
later yes. at night as a child. And I was like, I am here for that. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Right. I thought it was so funny. And I just like, I always, and like, obviously we have RuPaul on Drag Race and I'm sure. thrilled that that's happening and like, great. And I watch Drag Race all the time. You watch it sometimes.
Yeah.
But I loved the talk show because like Rue always asked really, really great, deep, important questions mm-hmm. and also would like, you know, then make a joke that would like make everything stop being serious again. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, sure. which is sort of like what drag does, yeah. right? So yeah, things I loved about that. Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
A few things before we go. Most importantly, drag is not a crime.
If you find yourself in conversation with someone who says things like, "What about the kids?" Here's some things you can say in response.
One, please tell me the last time you took your kid to a queer bar with you, and please tell me the last time you happened upon a drag show in public. Most drag performances happened indoors because, you know, temperature control. We don't want makeup to run or to sweat through costumes. As people who walk through two major cities often, being New York and Philly, both with thriving drag scenes, we've never just happened upon a drag show outside.
Two, you know how some live music just isn't for everybody? Like jazz, for instance. An integral part of the music art form. Just because you don't like jazz doesn't mean we need to outlaw jazz or outlaw live music.
Three, outlawing drag would sort of be like outlawing movies or music or theater or any art form. It's an art form. It's going to live on. And right now, they are trying to make laws to outlaw drag performances in spaces that we created for them. It's akin to a film having violence in its content and then fining and punishing the actors who participated in the storytelling of the moment.
In conclusion, the current attack on drag is rooted in homophobic republicanism and distraction. The Republican Party is doing the thing it has always done and is attacking a marginalized group of people in order to distract from the other agenda they have, which is to make America great for wealthy white folks. And worse, they are targeting the healthcare access and existence of trans folks in the wake of all of it. There's literally no evidence to support that drag harms children, or anyone for that matter. Drag performances that contain sexual innuendos and quote-unquote adult content take place in age-restricted bars.
We would like to end with a quote from Nino Testa, an associate professor of professional practice in women and gender studies at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth. Quote, queer people have always found creative ways to resist the violence of their experience and norms that have tried to restrict our ability to live freely in the world. Drag is a process of that resistance. These communities formed as a response to harassment, exclusion, and violence. I'm hopeful in the sense that we've done this before. We never stop doing it. End quote.
And another quote from drag queen Alaska, winner of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2. Quote, the great thing about drag is that the second you think you've got it figured out, it changes and turns into something else. That's why we'll always survive. End quote.
If you want to act, go donate to the ACLU's Drag Defense Fund. From the ACLU, quote, drag performers and the LGBTQ+ community are facing threats across the country. In the face of these threats and censorship, you can fight back with the ACLU for the protection of our rights. The freedom to express ourselves and our gender identity in creative ways fuels artistry across our country and culture. And drag is protected by the First Amendment, like any creative expression such as dance, fashion, and music.
As a community, the only way to get through this is together.
The sources for today's episode include What is Drag? Here is Everything You Need to Know by Yelena Dizanova, published on Insider.
Inquiry, Trixie Mattel Breaks Down the History of Drag by Them, published on them.us.
The U.S. has a rich drag history. Here's Why the Art Form Will Likely Outlast Attempts to Restrict It by Scotty Andrew, published on CNN.
The Evolution of Drag, A History of Self-Expressionism by Gael Abu Nasser, published on byarcadia.org.
The Long History of Drag, From Vaudeville to Reagan, and Why Right-Wing Outrage is Nonsense, written by Maggie Baska, published on Pink News.
And the GLBT Historical Society. This has been Pride Mix by Gays at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to pride early and pride often, and that
drag is always out there. Gays at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images of this episode, follow our Instagram at Gays at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gaysatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gaysatthenationalparks.com. And that's Gays, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gay Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sclios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that we're recording this episode that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey.